One of the criticisms that sociologists give of today, of present-day society, is that we have no true rites of passage for our young people. Nothing that helps them to understand and be the mark that you're moving from being a young person to being an adult. And being an adult, being recognized as an adult, and taking on the responsibilities of being an adult. Like, when does it happen? In older societies, in tribal societies, there were specific adventures or tasks or challenges that the youth were to pass through or accomplish. And then afterwards, then they would be considered an adult and they would be treated fully as such. Well, for many decades, we've had the age of majority card and that thing that tells you you can now legally drink. I would say legally because that's all part of it, right? Legally drink or smoke. Or there's your driver's license. Well, that's important, but it's at a different time than when you can drink or smoke. We have birthday parties, sometimes celebrating significant dates, but it sometimes depends on the family, as whether it's 18, 19, 21, whatever. But are any of these truly a signifying moment of a rite of passage when you become a true adult in the world? Is any one of those things a life-changing rite of passage? And in my experience, no, not at all. And I'm not saying any more about that. But a rite of passage is something that marks an absolute turning point in life. And it's a transformation. It's got a conscious decision, too, a new path, and the taking on of the responsibilities that come with a new identity. So we look at John the Baptist and what he was doing. He was sort of the holder of this new life membership thing, this rite of passage group in faith. He called it repentance, meaning turning back to God, start it now, a new path marked by being literally plunged into the Jordan River and brought up again. His name in Greek really refers to being like plunged deep down and brought back up, but baptizing sounds better than plunger. It was not a new thing, though, baptism or using water to signify new events. It was a very old thing. Jews had been practicing various models of ritual cleansing for years. There are pools and cisterns that we have found, archaeologists have discovered, that were used in ritual washings in public places like the temple and by some communities such as the Qumran Society that lived along the Dead Sea. But the use of water to mark a change that was happening to the person, whether it be a readiness or purification, it wasn't new. It had been happening. The difference with John's baptism is what it fully meant, symbolically deeper than a ritual washing or purifying or preparing. His baptism, it was life-changing, it was faith-changing, and that's what made his so different. It was a protection for God's coming reign. It took place in the Jordan River, not another river, but the Jordan River, because the Jordan was a symbol of freedom and liberation from oppressors and foreign rulers. The Jordan River was a specific place that was the sign that you would go in the water and come out and make that commitment to God, to be obedient to God as your ruler, the ruler of your heart, your faith, and all your living. It was a big rite of passage in faith. It was like being, and they say, born again, or born spiritually from above. When Jesus insisted on baptism by John, he says it's to fulfill all righteousness. And what is meant by that is he was doing so to fulfill God's will for him. His baptism was to carry out God's will. It was not about forgiveness of sins. It was about fulfilling God's call to him and his task and his opportunity to say, yes, I take it on, I will follow. Being baptized was to become a committed follower with God, of God, to God, in all Jesus' body, mind, and spirit. It's likely, and this is what we have to sort of remember, is that for a time, Jesus was probably John's disciple, John's follower, who prepared him and prepared the way. So being baptized, he was really committing to following God now in a full way, God's will for him as his next path in his life and what he would be doing as a ministry. And we read that at the moment of his baptism, the heavens opened and a voice expressed approval and the Spirit descended in the form of a dove. Those are all pretty cool things. But it's because, according to the ancients, these were the gifts of God, or signs from God, that would happen when this significant event of the Messiah arrived. Jews believed that these symbolic gifts would appear in the days of the Messiah, meaning the anointed one or the chosen one of God. When that person arrived, things would change. So Matthew, this ancient writer from somewhere maybe around 80 AD, about 50 years after Jesus, he's writing saying that through this symbolism, Jesus was the one, the chosen, the Messiah that they had waited for. And as such, life in a big way, a world-like way, a messianic age-like way was about to unfold. Now the dove, that was present over the waters of creation. That's what that link is. The dove at the baptism is like the dove at the waters of creation, or like a bird brooding over her eggs to bring forth new life. It's all that imagery. So it's the same dove that descends to Jesus that he might be known as like a new beginning, like in the beginning. His new beginning, even a new creation, happens from his plunging, his being dipped into the Jordan River of salvation. And that makes it life-changing for all, but especially for him. Now the voice, whether it was heard by Jesus alone or those standing by, it depends on which gospel you are reading as to how that is given to us. But it is a voice that surely Jesus heard, and the hearer of the story is to hear, making Jesus' identity public and the age of the Messiah no longer an advent at all, but realized here and now. The baptism of Jesus was a sign of obedience to God, not of sin, not a weakness. And don't we know how troublesome and how difficult it can be to live out those baptism promises? To live out our faith truly with what we say and to live it fully. What we say we believe and then live it out, what it means, in the fullness of our living. To live out our faith in our work, our leisure, our shopping, our voting, our belonging, our forgiveness, our environmental views, our views on life and death, it all comes back to what we say we believe and how we're living it out. And it's difficult at times. It's difficult to say and to live and follow what we say at baptism. Being a follower of Jesus, basically, it's no easy task if you take it fully seriously. As he took his task that he got from God. It's no easy new life marked by a watery rite of passage. It's challenging. Now, there are similarities between this ancient story and what we do in the present. As Jesus was obedient in receiving baptism, so are we. We make the choice for ourselves. We promise to continue to be obedient. We make the choice at confirmation or in an adult profession of faith when we take on the promises that our parents made to follow as a disciple and to raise us as Christians, to be obedient to the laws of God. Or we make promises to raise our children as disciples, as Jennifer and Jesse have done with all of you today, and just as many of you have done with your children too. As Jesus was declared the Son of God, we're declared children of God, or sons and daughters, or family of God. Baptism was the beginning of Jesus' call and his struggle to be faithful with his mission and in his service, his loving and his giving in his whole life. Baptism is the beginning of our calls and our struggles to learn and grow in faith, to share in serving and giving and risking, living our own lives, each of us, through a ministry that we discover through life and that we offer to the world. Now we might think now just for a moment, what is your ministry? How do you specifically live out your faith? What is it you do that is sometimes a struggle, sometimes a joy, sometimes a learning, but sometimes just a blessing, and you know this is your ministry and what you do because of what you believe and because of what you say as you believe and as you live out your faith. John said he baptized with water, a turning point. He said it was a rite of passage, a faith. But he said Jesus would baptize in a way that was so moving, so powerful, it would be like firing us up and the Holy Spirit moving through us. It makes me think of the song, "Oh, What a Feeling, Oh, What a Rush." And that may be so, but it comes from within and around us and our desire to become new, to become disciples and to just start a whole new life in the church and with others and ultimately be a part of changing the world for the better, even our tiny small part of the world. Baptism is a rite of passage of faith, for sure. Not in life beyond here. It isn't. It is about faith and about who we are. And it is a big thing. And like other big adventures and big changes in life, it needs to be celebrated. And celebrations happen together, and they happen as a family and as a church family. It's a time for a party, right? The Christian church has been baptizing for 2,000 years, and some times along the way there have been changes in how it's understood and practiced. There have been disappointments, but there have been a lot of celebrations. And we continue to baptize. Even in this non-Christendom era, this non-Christian time in our world, we still ask for and we still offer baptism. So, when we are ready, when we have learned and know what it is, what it means, what we'll be promising, we ask for baptism. And the church's response to baptism is welcome, and it is a promise to continue to care and share the journey and to learn and grow in faith and of just being the church together to whatever family comes forward, to all, whatever individuals come forward for baptism. So that all, new and old and young and seasoned, all are basically saying, hey, God, yeah, we want to follow. We want to be the disciples. We want to know what it is to follow Jesus as a disciple and answer this call, this feeling within me that I can't shake. So here I am. You know, in Hebrew, we've said it before. It's Hineni Adonai. Here we are right now. We're ready. Sometimes it's just as simple as that, as saying, God, it's time. It's the right time to start onto a new path and a new journey, to learn and grow deep within and to struggle and to live out my believing and my knowing that God is good all the time. So today is a sacred time. It is a sacred moment in time. It's a day of a rite of passage of faith, a life-changing moment in the family that is here in Jesse and Jennifer and Eden and all their family and friends and all of us. It's a sacred time today, right now. May we each hold this day holy forever. Amen.